Who's gonna tell you this one? I know.
So, usually sit over there, and if the room in front of me is empty, it means the McGee's are here.
Is, your old company, Ron, one of the biggest, employer there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Billy's the boss, I don't know.
Is he?
Yeah.
Did Billy take your place? Were you the boss?
Oh, gosh, no. I just work for him.
Okay, so those, most of you probably got this in your email, and I don't remember if I put on there which missionary it was, but it's the Galbraiths, the one about trusting God, a bunch of pictures. For those that didn't have that, I copied it off and put it in your mailbox, but I should have put their name at the top. And I just copied off of their webpage, so it was identified, but it isn't in here. You might be reading, who are they talking about? Well, anyway, that's who it is. But they've been busy. We need to be praying for them here. What does he say at the last here? This next month? Yeah. Probably be driving between 6,000 and 7,000 miles this next month. So, yeah. Okay, so tonight we are looking at lesson number 2, the second part of that, when you are afraid, and talking about Jehovah. Okay, so let's pray and we'll get started here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a nice day out there today. Thank you for the sunshine. And Lord, we thank you now for this time we have to study your word. Pray that as we do so, we'll find help and encouragement here this evening. And pray your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just a little bit of review. It says, when you are afraid, okay? So this applies to Jehovah. That's not the only thing that we can gain from Jehovah, that he's there when we're potentially afraid, but that's one of the major things. We'll see he's our protector, and usually when we're afraid, we're hoping... Hoping we have some protection there somewhere, all right? And this first part that we went over, won't go over all the ins and outs of how they come up with Jehovah, but you can read through that. And again, part of it was a protection. They didn't want people to be somehow misusing Yahweh, and so they added a few vowels that weren't there otherwise. And they come up with Jehovah. We know who we're talking about, and they did too. Mentioned some, over 6,000 times in Scripture. How do we recognize Jehovah when we're coming across it in Scripture? Chris?
Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
Yeah, okay, all capitals, Lord, all right. And so that's kind of your signal that's who it is that we're talking about when you're coming through Scripture there. And we said here, we need to remember his presence, okay? We like to know, it's like, kids wake up in the night, you know, maybe it's thundering or something else, and they get a little bit jumpy and hollering out, Mom, Dad, you know, or even if something's bad, they just kind of like to know that there's somebody around, you know, and want to know where you're at. Well, Lord's always there. We can count on that. And so his presence is always with us. Then we began here, I think, started talking about remember his precept. Now he's again trying to alliterate, and which is fine, but I don't use that word too often. You know, I'm thinking what he's talking about here is we need to show God some respect in relation to his name, or maybe even as I've said on occasions with my own children as they're growing up and they're having more input maybe than I'm ready for. Watch your mouth, you know. And, you know, I need to tell myself that once in a while too. So, but, you know, sometimes people get afraid and it's kind of like their brains and their mouth are not engaged. And they end up saying things that maybe they wouldn't normally say. But I think this is something I think we all need to be careful of. We can come up with our own Christian lingo, our Christian swearing, you know. We just kind of tame it down a little bit, you know. And we're saying kind of the same things that other people are, only it doesn't come across quite so harsh. And you know, garsh, darn, you know, and so on. Had a neighbor kid here. I don't know if it's just something he picked up recently. I think it was this last fall, but they were playing and stuff, and everything was oh God, oh God, oh God. And I finally said, okay, we don't do that around here, you know. And I don't know how much has changed over the winter. Well, if he comes back around again, if we'll have to have a little re-education class again or what. But, you know, Scripture tells us there in Exodus 27, he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Okay? And so I think it's not, again, taking it as a swear word. Vain has the idea of empty. You know, and sometimes people, they just throw words in there to kind of fill up space, all right? But again, we need to be careful about that. Would you say what you do if God was standing right next to you? You know, would you still be saying, oh God, every little bit, you know? And he's saying, yes, yes. Mark?
Yeah. You know, or, oh yeah. God, that was crazy. That was close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just yeah. The Holy Spirit's like, what did you just say?
Yeah. did I hear you right? Yeah. And when you're out in the workforce, sometimes you're surrounded by people with bad language. You know, and it can kind of rub off on you without you necessarily even thinking about it. And, but, you know, just a kind of reminder, it's not in his notes here, but Matthew 12:36 reminds us that we're going to have to give an account for every idle word, all right? So maybe we didn't mean anything by it, but, hey, it's still coming out. And so we need to, you know, kind of put a muzzle on it a little bit. Another verse that I was reminded of, if you're writing any of this down, was Psalm 141, verse 3. And I've had to use this for myself. That says, the psalmist is saying to the Lord, he says, set a watch or a guard before my mouth, keep or guard the door of my lips. Okay, I look at it as, well, you know, what is it, a catcher and maybe a goalie? They got that, you know, catcher's mitt or that screen wire in front of them. It's like, okay, I need something to a filter out there, you know. Lord, watch my mouth, you know. And and again, it's not just what you say, but what?
How you say it.
How you say it, you know. We can get the same thing across without necessarily using bad language here. So anyway, he says it's vain, it's empty, it's useless. Chris?
You don't even have to say it. A lot of textures today, when they're astounded by something, they'll just use the letters OMG, and that's blasphemy. That's bad use of God's name.
Yeah.
When you think about it, the seraphim and cherubim, when they're in the presence of God, they're on their faces and saying, holy, holy, holy. It's continuous.
Yeah, and he points that out. You know, what does Christ say when he, with what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, you know, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. You know, do we treat God's name as if it was holy? It says, third commandment warns us, the Lord will not hold us guiltless if we use his name in vain. Okay, so we need to think about what we're saying. And you got all kinds of people using it, and they're, I don't know if that makes people, others think, well, they said it, so it must be all right. Here's a bad memory for you. You remember Reverend Wright and what he was saying? You know, he didn't come out, well, maybe he did, I don't know, but GD America. Well, everybody knows what he's talking about. And he's supposed to be this pastor. You know, and well, if the pastor said it, must be okay. No, it's not. We just recently went through James. Remember how it talked about the fact that a fountain, you don't get both sweet water and bitter, or sweet water and salt water out of the same fountain. Therefore, we ought not to be praising God on one hand with our mouth and then turn around and be swearing or using God's name in vain with the same mouth, you know. And I mentioned, you know, some people that we ended up being some kids next to in a restaurant here a while back, you know, and it was tempted to say, do you eat with that mouth, that filthy mouth? But I wasn't trying to start a war. But, you know, our speech, you know, as he points out, you know, God's given us that ability to speak and to talk and to share our thoughts and so on. You know, we're up from the animals, okay? And I know some of you who've got pets say that they're talking to you and so on. But you're going to have to interpret for me, because I don't always catch what they're saying. But he says we need to practice the principle from Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Okay, so need to have a high view of God's name, God's whichever name it is, and not to be throwing it around lightly. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, why is it if you hurt yourself, you know, you hit your thumb with a hammer or whatever, you know, it's something about God that comes out. Why isn't it, oh, Satan, or, you know, or the devil, or whatever? No, it's, we're dragging God's name through the mud. Okay, so just kind of an alert to this. We need to treat God's name well, okay, and watch our mouth. And then he says here, too, to remember God's protection. And we see several instances of that. The one that he gives here is that of Noah, you know, and, you know, God told him to build the ark. And, you know, to begin with, Noah's probably saying, what? What's that? You know, what do I need this big boat for? You know, it's a long way from the water. How are we going to get it there? But it said, thus did Noah, according to all that God, or Elohim commanded him. And then he says that further on in Genesis 7, he says, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Okay, so Jehovah was getting him on board. Okay, he wanted, this was his protection. God was his protector, but ultimately he's going to keep them safe in the ark. And so he's telling them all aboard. And he uses them to get the animals on board and everything else. But again, Jehovah was doing this. He was protecting them. And again, Jehovah is a name, as we go through this, we'll see that it often has to do with relationships. He's dealing with people. You know, Elohim was creator. He created man and woman, but he also created the whole universe and the earth and everything else. You know, where Jehovah's more focused on people and protecting them. And as he mentions, you know, Noah preached for 120 years and didn't see anybody outside of his own family come to the Lord. And, you know, he's been telling people for a long time, you know, there's going to be a flood. And that's why I'm building this ark. Can you imagine, after it started raining, you know, and the water's getting deeper and deeper, and you imagine the people that are running towards the ark and wanting to get on board and beating on the side and let me in and all the rest of it, they're probably pretty upset with Noah, you know. And it was, who was it that shut the door? Yeah, God shut the door. I like what he says. Well, he quotes here later from Revelation. He says, he hath the key of David, he openeth. He that openeth and no man can shutteth, and shutteth and no man can open it. He says, atomic bomb couldn't open that door, all right? God shut the door. He's protecting them. And ultimately, it'll be God that's opening the door and telling them when it's time that they can come out. And they faced, you know, we've had some storms through the years, and you think, wow, when's this going to quit? You know, I mean, we have the advantage. We can turn on our phone and look at the radar and say, oh, yeah, oh, in 6 hours, it's going to be past us. You know, it's going to be over with. Well, how long did it rain and storm? Remember? 40 days, 40 nights. Oh, man. Rock and roll. Yeah. And so, but he points out, he says, storms, we face storms. Sometimes God allows trials to come into our life. Sometimes those trials come into our lives as a result of our own bad decisions. And we face a variety of different kinds. He mentions here finances, relationships, careers, our health. And I was thinking a little bit about this, and I guess I didn't come up to a lot of conclusions from it. But, you know, God may choose to test us. Well, let's just pick our health, for example. We may find ourselves sick from one thing or another, and maybe it drags on longer than we think it probably ought to, or others say it, we should be over it by now. But when we finally get over it and we're going, oh, I'm so glad I feel almost normal, whatever normal is, okay? What did that teach us? Chris?
Patience and being able to trust in the Lord to bring you through it.
Right, patience, and then Lord's there to bring us through it. You know, it's going to be over when God says it's over. But ultimately, he helps us to see God's in charge of our health, you know? Maybe I have a different view on things. I'm more inclined to test this. I take a lot of vitamins, okay? A lot of pills, you know? I try to do it before she's getting ready to go to bed, because I'm out there rattling the bottles and putting them in the jars. And I have two bowls, you know, and this is the evening and that one I take before I go to bed, and this is a morning one when I get up in the morning. I don't know how much good it's doing me, you know, but I don't want to stop to find out. But ultimately, God's in charge of our health, okay? He knows when we're going to be born. He knows when we're going to die. And he's got a fence on both ends, all right? And from my perspective, you can take all the vitamins in the world, but if you're supposed to die on this date, that's when you're going to die. Whether it's a heart attack or you got hit by a bus or whatever else is, that's D-Day, okay? And you're not going to go beyond that, all right? I think this back, this may not ring a bell to anybody else, but long, long time ago, Maureen and I both used to do some running. But remember the guy named Jim Fix? He was quite a runner. He was a marathon runner and everything else. And he just dropped over dead one day out on a run, okay? And you think, wow, this guy, if somebody's in shape, this is the guy that's it. Well, yeah, but when it's time, your time's up, the little dinger bell rings, you're done, all right? So, and we don't know when it is. So we have to make good use, good stewards of the time that we've got here. But, you know, God tests us and helps us to realize, you know, really, God's in control of all this. And we were talking here before we got started, you know, the banks, if the banks fail and the government takes over and we get digital currency, you know, you think that's going to take God by surprise? No. He knew all about that, you know. And do you think that's going to keep God from being able to take care of us? No. We need to remind ourselves of that. Okay, God took care of the Israelites out in the desert, all right? And they weren't always happy about it, if you remember. They did a lot of complaining, but they had water to drink, and they had manna to eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It may not always been, you know, the sugared variety or chocolate flavored or anything else, but it kept them going, you know? And God take care of them. He can take care of us, too. And when the time's right, and we're out of here. We all like to think that we're going to get out of here before it gets rough. But he didn't say that, you know. I mean, you look back through the Middle Ages, and they're burning people at the stake and everything else. They probably thought the rapture was right around the corner, too. And I'm not saying it's a long way away, but... people went through some tough times before, and that it wasn't an automatic, you know, get out of jail free kind of thing. Well, that's a little off from this, but point is, you know, God's there to protect us. And whatever happens in this world is not going to somehow stump God. And he thought, oh, man, I never thought of that. What am I going to do now? You know? But he says, too... this is not necessarily a compliment, though. He says, we need to remember at times, Psalm 116:6, the Lord preserveth the simple. Okay? All right? And he says, simple has the idea of foolish or silly. Just sometimes we make some silly mistakes, make some silly choices. Maybe we thought, I think I've got this one figured out. I don't need to pray too much about this. We'll just do it. And then find out, maybe I should have run that by God first, okay? But he's still going to be there for us, all right? He'll help us pick up the pieces and kind of put things back together again. And I like what he mentions here once. He says, you know why God never changes? Because perfect, and you can't improve on perfection. Now, that's not true of any of us, all right? There's still always room for improvement, but for God, he's perfect. And then he mentions, too, We ought to remember God's unchanging there in Proverbs 18:10. He says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth unto it and is safe." Now, that may not mean so much to us here and now, okay? But back in that day, when they had a strong tower, this would be kind of like a castle or something that we might think of in terms of like in England or something. When the enemy comes, everybody runs to the castle. That's the place of protection, right? And the thing is, God is our tower. He's able to protect us no matter what comes our way. You know, and that verses like that might have been running through some people's minds down there in Mississippi when that tornado's tearing your house apart. And I'm thinking, I don't know that for sure, but a lot of those houses down south don't have basements. You know, there's not too many places to hide. And I was listening to somebody once who was telling about, you know, she was in the bathtub, you know, that whatever falls, maybe I'll be protected here in the bathtub. That was about as close to a safe place as anything. But, you know, God's able to protect us even through those situations. And so we can remember God's presence. He's always with us. The precept, or basically showing respect to God and his name, to watch our mouth, watch what's coming out of it. Maybe we need to ask the Lord to set a watch over our mouth and a guard what's coming out of it. And then that protection. And I had some other notes, and we only have about 2 minutes left here. Let's see if I can give you something that maybe you haven't touched on here. Well, one of those things, okay, we already said that God was involved in being Noah's coach, okay? He was the one that drafted him to be the builder of the ark, okay, him and his family. So Jehovah gave Noah a job to do, okay? And it took him, can you imagine? Most people think 40 years and I get to retire. Imagine being out there hammering, sawing, beating on this thing for 120 years before you can say, oh, I'm done. Now, again, if I remember right, doesn't he live for like 600 years? So, I mean, but still, long time. The other thing is, okay, so he gave Noah the job. Fast forward here a couple thousand years. And Moses on the scene. And you know the story. You know, Moses grows up in Egypt, in the palace and everything. And for 40 years, kills an Egyptian, has to flee. He's on the backside of the desert, keeping the sheep. Boy, that's a flip, isn't it? And not a Walmart in sight, you know. And he does that for 40 years. And probably thinks, I'm just going to die out here with the sheep here one of these days. But that's where God calls him, gives him a job. Moses, why don't you go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah, and we know the exchange that goes back and forth a little bit. Thing is, God gives us a job. It's Jehovah, okay, that relationship, you know. And it wasn't just Noah. This has got a job for you, or Moses, they got a job for you, or David, or other. Same thing. He's got a job for all of us to do. Okay, and I mean, it's not going to be building an ark or leading a couple million people out of a foreign country or something, but he's still got a job for us to do. And if we're a little bit like Moses, you know, and remember Moses, he was kind of hemmed and hawed, tried to shift the butt. You know, I can't talk, Lord. You know, I think you probably want my brother or something. That's not very respectful of God, is it? I mean, it's like, God, you didn't make a very good choice here. That wasn't a very smart choice picking me, You know? Yeah, it was. I mean, and as God says, who made your mouth? You know? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, again, Jehovah, he gives us jobs, but he's also going to give us the skill. You know, I'm guessing Noah had not went to carpentry school before he started doing the boat. You know, but God taught him along the way, okay? Moses been ordering the sheep around for 40 years, and now he's going to lead a nation? Wow, that's quite a learning curve, isn't it? And another thing, and we'll quit here, but it was talking about, you know, his name, I Am. I am that I am. You know, to us that doesn't, you know, we're trying to comprehend what that's saying. But really, God is self-sufficient. And one of the things I wrote or read about it was saying, God relies on nothing else to exist. You know, he doesn't need us to exist. He existed before we showed up on the scene, before he created us. And we could take this world away. We could take this universe away. God still exists. Okay? He doesn't need any of this. And yet he created it for his, ultimately for his glory. And he's put us in here. And we're not just here taking up space for X number of years. He's got a job for us to do. And so we ought to be looking to him for the help and strength to do that job. And it says, Jehovah loved Moses enough to give him a task to do. And he's got one for all of us. Now, it may change through the years, okay? But nevertheless, he's still got a job for us to do. You know, and what I'm thinking, when our job's done, what? We're out of here, okay? So as long as we're here, God's got something for us to do. We ought to think about what it is and ask him to help us do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just another quick glimpse at this name, Jehovah, what it means, what it ought to mean to us. Pray that you'd continue to put that into our memory banks and that we might remember that you're there for us all the time. You're not just stop in for a visit now and again, but you're there all the time for us, and we can count on it. You're there to protect us, to care for us, and we can count on that. And help us to be respectful in how we seek to use your name. And have courage to speak up to those who don't. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.